Welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss an upload. You can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Enjoy this week's show and don't forget to share it with all your friends.
Hey, I'm Russell Leeds.
I'm Ricky Mandel.
And welcome to the Property Investors Podcast. On this week's show, how to build your serviced accommodation power team. Now, what would you say, Rix, was the definition of a power team?
I would say the definition of your power team is a team of specialist individuals or a specialist company and individuals that can support you in areas of the business that you may not be able to do yourself, which, if you put a power team in place, will help systemize certain parts of the business. Yep. But I guess the key is, with a power team, is they have to be specialists in their field.
Would you say... See, I agree with you in terms of, obviously, it's service providers, right? Would a cleaner be part of your power team?
Yes.
And would a cleaner be a specialist in their field?
Well, I mean, you are correct in what you're saying, I guess, but they need to be a good cleaner. I would say, yeah, they do need to be a specialist. They need to be a specialist in service accommodation cleans.
So what does a specialist cleaner do?
A specialist service accommodation... Well, we're going to get on to that.
All right, okay.
We're going to get on to that.
You're giving you some thinking time.
Because now what you're thinking is, you're thinking, all right, well, cleaners will be part of the power team, which is correct. I'll give you a little teaser there. It is correct, but they're not actually going to be your cleaners. They're going to be your cleaners and / your superhost, which we'll get on to.
I actually think having a good power team, having good people around you, if you look at most successful people, most successful businesses, they all have good people around them, don't they?
Yeah.
They all, you know, I was reading Donald Trump's book a couple of years ago, and I was like, oh, so jealous of, like, his lawyer.
Yeah.
It was like his lawyer did all loads of work for him. And I think one of the key aspects to being someone that's successful is being able to get good people around you.
But what's the difference? So when we talk about specialists in the field, if they're not specialists, then I get they're just a team, aren't they?
Rather, well, I would say a power team. Yeah, I know what you mean. But it could just be your power team could just be a team of employees. Like, if you look at big hotel chains, for example.
Yeah.
Their power team are all going to be employees, right?
Well, yeah, but usually when you think of power team, you're thinking, you know, specialists like accountants, solicitors.
But they'll have in-house accountants. They'll have in-house
solicitors. Yeah, but they're specialists, aren't they? If you just had Russell Leeds and you had 5 employees, you had a PA, you had your admin, and you had people that did operations or something, would you class that as your power team or your team?
But then the cleaner argument kind of debunks that, doesn't it, right? Because they're part of your power team, but they're not a specialist. They're not really doing anything that you couldn't do.
So really, are you saying that if you employ a team, so you have one person that works for you, that's your power team?
If it's everything that you need for your business to run.
So what you're saying is they're not power team if they are not essential for the running of the business?
Yes. I'm sure a power team has got to be someone that's essential to the business, right? If they're not essential for the business, well, why are you even employing them? What's the point? What power team member are you thinking of here that you've got that's non-essential?
Well, no, I'm just thinking, all right, so if you talk about someone that, you know, works in admin, you could do that yourself.
You could.
So they're not part of your power team.
But I'm not arguing that. You are. I'm saying that a cleaner, you could do it yourself, but I think a cleaner is a good member of the power team. And then you're saying, no, it has to be a specialist.
No, but I couldn't clean to the standard and spec that the cleaners would clean
but
to.
But lots of people can, though.
Yeah, but I can. So for me, that's my power team. Because I couldn't do it.
But for most people, it's also the power team, right?
So I guess power team is subjective.
I don't think it is. I think your power team... Is your team normally of independent contractors,
right,
who help systemize and make your property business work? So rather than discussing the definition of it, let's have a look at who we would say would be in your service accommodation power team, right?
Okay.
So the first person that's in your power team, I would say, and the most important one, I actually think, is your cleaner.
Yeah, because they're going to be there a lot of the time cleaning the property when people check out, or every time. But also, if you don't have a good cleaning team in place, not only will you end up cleaning yourself, which if you get a service accommodation and you're cleaning it yourself, you're basically working a job, which you don't want to do. You want to work on the business rather than in the business. So they'll take that time back for you and they'll do the cleaning. But also, if it's not done well and it's not done to a good standard, you don't have a good cleaning team in place, then the property will be messy, untidy, not clean. And if the property's unclean, then that will be your first lot of bad reviews that you'll start getting. And you don't want to get bad reviews right off the bat. So if you don't have cleaners in place, expect bad reviews, which is why I think it's essential for the business, because if you haven't got the cleaners, it's going to lead to bad reviews.
Yeah. So what? How do you ensure then that your cleaner and your power team keeps the property clean and does it? What do they need to do? You touched on them managing the property as well. What do you expect for them and how do you hold them to that level?
So, it's a great question. Firstly, what we do is we know what standard and spec we want the property clean to. So we'll always meet them before we take on the property and show them what we want doing, how we want doing it. Often show them photos of previous properties that we've got.
Do you go and meet them in person?
Yes, we do.
I've never done that.
Have you not?
No.
Well, the reason that I like to do it as well is because if I'm using cleaners that I've never used before, then I will. If we worked with them, then they know what we're doing here. They know the score. But if I've never worked with them before, I like to show them because they'll clean, but they'll also become our host. So when they've cleaned the property, which to the standard we'll show them, they'll also do small things like putting out the biscuits, putting out the coffees, refilling the teas, and checking inventory. So we have a checklist that we give to the cleaners of what to do. So not only is it cleaning, but on the checklist it will say inventory check, damage checks. They'll also fix small things if things need fixing, like changing a light bulb, screwing on a door handle. And we pay them a little bit extra when that stuff needs doing. But we also look after our cleaners as well. You know, we'll always go in once a month, flowers, chocolates, and say thank you. But we have a checklist. And
where do you do this?
In their office.
You go into the office in person?
Well, I don't go in person to their office. I send a power team member of mine, because I couldn't do it. But
your non-essential power team.
A team member goes in and drops them off. When I say team member, I mean, you know, Moonpig. Moonpig deliver it. But we'll send them flowers and chocolates as a thank you. But it's not
every month?
Yeah. Wow. Because if you have a service accommodation unit and it's not clean to a good standard and something gets missed, or they don't put the coffees out or teas out because they might forget, or they don't do something, they don't check for the damage, they don't do an inventory check, and then someone comes to stay and something's missing, something's damaged, or they're not happy, that will have a result in you getting a bad review. And the moment you start getting bad reviews snowballing in because the cleaners aren't doing their job that you've given them and that you're paying them for, then that will have a snowballing effect. So I believe that you should always look after your team, always reward your team, you know, keep them incentivized, reward them for the work they've done, which is why we like to do it.
Fair enough.
So we meet them if they're brand new. We show.
I agree with you, by the way, on the inventory check. So we do something very similar. So we'll take photos of the property and we say, so when they first go in, I say, here's photos of each room from every angle. This is what I want it to look like every time you finish. And then here's where I want you, this is what milk I want you to get. This is what coffee I want you to get. So give them a list of absolutely all the jobs they have to do. But I don't go and meet them. I mean, listen, it's not very often that you change your cleaners.
No.
Pretty much once you've got someone, they stay in place. But I agree with you, having clear instructions, almost like a manual for your property. This is what I want it to be like. Whether you give them that in person, whether you, I normally just have a.
But another reason why I meet them though is because I want to get an understanding of how they are. What happens if you don't get a good vibe from, if you go to meet them and you don't get a good vibe, that could be a sign maybe not to use them.
But I've got units all over the place. If I was having to drive every time, I want it to be passive, and I want to use the same cleaner for a long time. So I'm getting good reviews. If I don't like the cleaner personally,
no, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you feel like, because I've wanted to meet cleaners before, and sometimes I felt like I don't think they're going to do a professional job well enough. I think this is more of a, it's more of a hobby for them.
See, what I do do, though, is although I don't go there, I do spot check my properties. So I don't go and meet them, but I spot check. So I'll go and stay in. If, do you know when you've got like a night that's free? So if you've got a minimum stay, then yeah, you're going to say you've got a 3-day minimum stay and there's like two nights that are free. So you know it's not going to get booked. I'll go and stay in my properties from time to time. And then you get, and then I don't even tell them I'm going.
It's just like a mystery visit.
It's just a mystery guest.
Have you ever had it where you've gone and you've been like, oh, that's not right. That's not good.
No.
That's good.
Yeah, no, I haven't. It's always, I've never had to fire a cleaner. I've only ever changed cleaners when the price, sometimes
hike
the price.
So your cleaning team, because I get asked this a lot, should you get cleaners that specialise in service accommodation? Should you get cleaners that do end of tenancy cleans that could also do service accommodation? Or should you get, you know, some cleaning team that just do, how, like, who do you go for?
How do you get a cleaner?
Yeah.
Great question, right? Now I use networking.
Right.
So every cleaner I've ever had has come from the academy.
Yeah.
And people in the academy, and I'm like, does anyone know a cleaner in here? Oh, yeah, I know this person. So it's all been recommendations.
Yeah.
Which may be one of the reasons as well why it's easier. I don't have to go meet them because they've come recommended.
Well, this is the thing. Now with how the academy is, it's such a massive network.
Yeah.
I went through the academy almost 7 years ago now. And, you know, at the time, it was a lot smaller than what it is now. Today is just unreal what it is now. 7 years ago, that's one of the reasons why I went to go and meet the cleaners, because I would find them and I would go and meet them there, show them what I want, and also I can visually walk through the property with them. And if they didn't do, now 7 years ago when I started, there wasn't many companies that specialised in service accommodation cleans, whereas now I feel like we live in a time where, you know, we're living in a revolution right now where service accommodation is absolutely booming and taking off. 7 years ago, when I was doing it and starting out, it was a thing. It wasn't massive, though. So there wasn't many cleaning companies that did service accommodation. Yeah. So I would go and meet them, show them what I wanted, and then they would almost tailor a package to what I wanted. Yeah. So that's another reason why I used to go and see them.
So I would do that over the phone. So what I used, the very first time I was looking for a service accommodation cleaner, probably a similar sort of time ago you were looking, I couldn't find anyone.
Yeah.
I was ringing around. I was like searching for cleaning firms. I was ringing around and everyone was like, oh no, we don't do that. What days do you want though? Do you want Wednesdays? I was like, no, I want every day. I want every day randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know when. Sundays it might have to be. Saturdays, Monday. And they were like, oh no, no, no. And no one would, was really struggling to find someone. The way that I think is the best way to find someone now, network's the best. Get yourself into a network of people that do it and ask for recommendations, right? And quite often as well, I found with the academy, it's like family members of academy members that have done it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's really good. If you're starting from scratch, you don't have a network, I use Bark. Have you ever used Bark?
Was that a dog?
No. So Bark's a website where you can go on and you can advertise for stuff. It's a bit, do you know, like, it's like a modern day version of the, do you know the post-it notes you used to put up in shops?
You mean posters?
Well, they're not posters. They're like little postcards, I suppose. And you have the notice boards.
Is it just like a platform to market yourself?
Kind of, yeah. So it's for service providers.
Right.
And you go, if you're looking for a cleaner, for example, you go on, you explain what you are, and all the cleaners can see it, and they can pay, I don't think it's very much, pay credits or whatever to buy your request to get your contact details. So you'll go on, you put your advert, and if they see your advert and think, oh, that looks like something I could do, they will pay Bark to get your details.
That's pretty good, because then you filter out people that aren't really serious about it. You've got more people that are serious about their business.
Yeah, and when I if you post an advert on Bark, you'll get loads of cleaners that will contact you who are up for doing service accommodation in the area. They know all your details. I found that has worked quite well. I used that a few times for early rounds. Now I pretty much just use recommendations.
Yeah, yeah.
Bark is a great go-to. But you're right, you want your cleaner to be your property manager as well.
Yeah.
So this is what I want the property to look like every time. If a light bulb needs changing, I want you to change it. If anything bigger, if there's something big, I want you to let me know so that I can sort it.
Yeah.
And the cleaners, we have them linked up because we use, I don't know whether you're going to count this as part of the power team. I think I would say, well, would you count channel managers as power team? Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
could you do the channel management yourself?
Yes.
Could you do it yourself easily without having a headache?
A lot of people do, don't they? A lot of people just use... Because let's face it, right?
All right, you could list it on one
Airbnb
online...
Booking.
Yeah, but all right, I would class them as part of your power team.
Oh, I agree. So if you give your cleaner access to your channel manager, you don't even have to talk to your cleaner. Sometimes I will only speak to my cleaner every 6 months.
Yeah,
they're just going in there doing the job. I get the invoice. I hardly ever speak to them unless there's a problem or something they want to deal with, right? So yeah, so cleaner, big one. Next,
channel manager, part of the power team. You can do it yourself, but it's easier.
Do you want to explain what a channel manager is?
So a channel manager is we use a company that, but it's basically a software, and you have this software, and what you do is you give the software, the channel manager, your property information, pictures of it, description of it, all the information you can. You upload it onto this portal, if you like. And then what the channel manager does is they take the information and they list it on online travel agencies like Booking.com, Airbnb, Trivago, Late Rooms, so on, so on. Now, the good thing about having a channel manager is this. If you did this yourself and you just took your property and you listed it on online travel agencies, what most people do that do this, by the way, is they'll list it on Booking.com and Airbnb, which is cool. But if you want to get more bookings, of course, you want to get more eyes on your property. So the more online travel agencies that it's on, the more people are likely to see it, which means likely to get more bookings. Problem with that is if you got it on 35 different online travel agencies and you get a booking from Late Rooms for the next couple of nights, the other online travel agencies don't know you've had a booking because you've independently listed it on one of the online travel agencies. So now you've got your diary and you've got a booking on Late Rooms, but then you might have your Trivago diary over here, which you then need to block off. So then you have to manually go and block off all of the dates, which could lead to double bookings if you don't keep on top of it. That's just one aspect. So what your channel manager does is you give them the information. They then list it for you on the online travel agencies. And then whenever there's a booking, bang, booking.com, your goes onto your channel management diary, and that will automatically then cross off the dates that you've been booked on the other online travel agency. So that stops double bookings. Other things that channel managers do is automated emails. So when you've got your information for the property, you've uploaded it, it's all set, you've listed it, you can set up an email system through the manager where when someone books, they get an email. And of course, you type the email, you structure the email. You get one. You can send one when they check in, when they check out. So you've got an automated email system as well. Again, you can link it to your cleaners, so you can give them. You can give people limited access to the diary. And really, I guess in a nutshell, your channel manager manages
also like it's got like one inbox. So like when people email, when people message you on Booking.com, it comes into this.
Yeah, and this is the thing. I think channel managers now. It goes back to the whole when I started out 7 years ago. Service accommodation, it was a thing, but it wasn't massive. Now it's so big. I've used the same channel managers for 7 years. And when I started, they didn't have that one inbox. I had to go, whenever I had an inquiry or an email from someone that booked through booking.com, I would have to go into the agencies that they booked through to reply to them. Now you've got it all in one place, which is cool.
It is good. It is good. And they're pretty cheap as well, aren't they? You're looking at about 25, 30 quid a month. For your channel manager, and it just keeps everything organized. And again, because it is automated and it sends them all the welcome messages that you've written and the key safe codes, everything, it just does it all for you. It sends the cleaner over the date to go. Very often, I'll have properties that I don't do anything with for months. Yeah. It just, you know, the guest has everything they need, they don't get in touch with me.
Yeah.
And it just ticks along, and I'm not doing anything. They'll book for Airbnb, they'll get all the information that they need, it will get sent to the cleaners through the channel manager, the cleaners will go, they'll clean it, they'll do everything, everything ticks along.
The great thing is as well, is let's say you've got a little portfolio of service accommodations, if you use the same channel manager, You'll often have it so that they're laid out, and when you log onto your dashboard, you can see each one individually. You can see each one's bookings, each one's calendar. They're all in one place then. So rather than having them on like different spreadsheets and trying to keep track of who's booked and, you know, what income's coming from where and how many days you've had void periods, you've got it all in one place. You just log in and it's there.
You can set your pricing through your channel manager.
Yeah, you've got rates, evergreen rates, base rates, seasonal rates, weekend rates.
So you can go in advance and you can say, oh, this is a bank holiday weekend, yeah, we'll up the price there, or this is a quiet season, we'll lower the price. You can set all that out in advance.
This is why I think it's your power team.
I agree. I tell you what I did do, though. I set my rates when I first got, it was a Vivo, a channel manager called a Vivo. When I first got a Vivo, I went through and set the rates for like 3 years in advance. Right. And then forgot about it.
Oh, no.
Right, so 3 years later, suddenly my bookings dried up. And I was like, why have I had no bookings? Like, for, I can't remember which month it was, but for like February or whatever, just nothing come in. I was like, this is crazy. When I looked, my dates had run out and it had gone to the, I'd put like a reserve date in. That was, if there's nothing there, charge this. And it was like a really expensive, really expensive rate. It's like 200 quid a night. I'm normally charging like 140 in the week. It's like, and no bookings.
Yeah. And it works the opposite way as well. You have to be careful, because when you set your nightly rates, you want to plan for the big days. New Year's Eve. Yeah. You know, festivals, stuff like that. You want to plan to up your rates during them periods. Because what you don't want to do is not set your rate high for New Year's Eve. Someone will book that quick. If you've got like, you know, £100 for New Year's Eve and you don't change it, someone will book that. And you then can't turn around and say, oh, sorry, I'm going to have to cancel it. That's terrible.
Yeah. So what I did was I did another 3 years, because I think you can only go so far.
Yeah.
But then I set a reminder in my calendar. In like through my Google. I hope I've still got the same Google calendar. But that was crazy. I missed about 3 weeks of like... Because at first I was like, oh, it's just quiet. And then by the time I'd realised, I've definitely lost bookings over that. That was a mistake. So
you learn from your mistakes.
Top tip for you. So yeah, so channel manager, big one. The other thing we mentioned earlier is while your cleaner's kind of acting as your property manager, there are going to be certain things the cleaner can't sort, right? There are going to be certain problems.
Yeah.
Well, I've had problems such as the heating stopped working. I've had problems. That's a big one. I've had that a couple of times actually with the boilers.
And that would be that's bad as well. That is, because that will lead to complaints.
Yeah. Oh, I had to refund the whole
thing. Yeah.
Because we had to have a new boiler fitted and all sorts. Yeah. Although I got a good review from them, because I dealt with it quickly, got the person in the next day. I refunded them 2 days. I think they were saying for four. I refunded them the 2 days without no heating. But yeah, that was bad. But anyway, you'll have certain problems that occur. I think I had a broken toilet once. What have you had anything? Had the ceiling leaked? Had the...
Well, I mean...
One time?
I've not had like broken boilers or anything like that, or heat not working. I've only ever experienced small problems.
Really? Like, over the time, you ever had stuff like that? I had the shower leak. The tiles need to be regrouted.
No. Well, every time there's a major issue like that, I've only started buying service accommodations about a year and a half ago. Before that, it was rent to rent. Okay. So any problems like that, we were made aware of. We would just pass it on to the letting agent or the landlord, because it's their responsibility with rent to rent.
Sure.
Usually.
So, but anyway, when this sort of stuff arises, you're going to need a few people, I think. So the people that I personally have used, number one is a handyman.
Yeah.
I think a handyman's good for most little jobs, right? That are out of the scope of the cleaner. I'll give you an example, actually. I had a problem the other day I needed a handyman for. Oh, this was a nightmare.
Go on.
Right. So the cleaner, sorry, the guest turns up at the property. They're like, the key safe won't open. So they ring me up, they're like, we're at the property, the key safe won't open.
Right.
Right, so I'm like, holy crap. Like, because I don't live anywhere near mine either. I live like 3 hours away. So I'm like, oh no. So I rang the cleaner. Thank God the cleaner answered. I was like, can you go and let them in? Because she's got her own key. So she said, yeah, no problem. So she goes and gives them her key, her one and only key. Right, so now there's a key safe that's broken that's got a key in, and my cleaner's one and only key is given to the person. So I had to get a handyman to drive over, break the key safe off the wall,
right,
put a new key safe on, put the key in it, and then when they left, they had to put the key back in it. But can you imagine if the cleaner hadn't answered?
No, that would have been terrible. You'd have had to go up there.
Yeah.
And you have to say to them, you have to wait a few hours.
Yeah. Would have been awful, wouldn't it?
Disastrous.
So what I've done now, and I've done this on future properties, this is my first one. So I've learned the lesson before it happened, but never got round to changing it with this one, is I've now got two key safes at the property.
Right.
So I've got my main key safe that I'm going to tell them about, and I've got a hidden one that's literally just behind the bin.
That's a good idea.
In the bin shed. So if this ever happens again...
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I can say, look, there's another key safe.
That also solves the problem of if somebody accidentally takes the key with them or you lose it, you'd have to rely on someone to answer the phone, and there's always a backup. That's a good
backup,
idea, yeah.
Extra key safe. So yeah, two key safes. But for these type of jobs, you need a handyman.
Yeah.
Any little thing that comes up, handyman. The other one that I've got, luckily they actually live nearby for most of my properties. They do most of it. If you've got properties together, I know you do a lot in London
Keynes,
you only need one set of power teams, right?
Yeah.
So, which is useful, but you need a plumber.
Yeah.
Because there's often going to be stuff that comes up with your plumbing. Well, maybe not often, but I've had it a few times. It might be a heating problem. It might be your boiler's broke. It could be... the toilet, there's a problem with the toilet or anything like that. So I think a plumber is always worth having. And I've also had to send... I've had electricians as well I've had to use for properties where the lights... It's all normally little stuff, but the lights have blown or something. So electrician. So I would definitely say handyman, electrician, plumber. I'm trying to think if I've used anyone else. I don't think I've used anyone else on a regular basis, like a power team. I have part of my power team.
No, not for service accommodation. Of course, the there are, other, I guess your accountant will be in, that will be part of your power team within the company.
But actually systemising.
But actually for service accommodation.
Is there any other handymen or anything like that you need? Tell you this, one other type of person that I think would be useful to have, I actually don't have.
Go on.
So this is a non-essential power team. You could argue...
Isn't they're just part of the team then?
Well, you could argue that they're all non-essential, because technically you could do it, right? But then you're just doing the job.
Yeah.
Right? Most of the stuff you could, especially if you're a bit handy, most of the stuff you could do. But something I've considered getting, but at the moment I still do myself, is when the guest has a problem, who do they call?
What, are you asking for me for my business?
Yeah.
Well, we have a virtual PA.
Okay.
Oh, power team, of course.
So why did you not mention
that? I know, I didn't... Yeah, virtual PA.
So what happens? How does this work?
So what happens is... The guests have a phone number that they can phone if there's any problems or any issues. And we have a virtual PA. And when they ring the phone, it goes through to the virtual PA that has a list of questions. We've given them questions that, really, in my opinion, every single question that could be possibly asked from the guest. So, what's the Wi-Fi password? If something's not working, where's this? Where's that? How do I do this? Everything has an answer to. Now... The virtual PA will be able to answer it. Like, what's the Wi-Fi part? Stuff like that.
Because you'll put this together. Because when you put your welcome back together,
it will all be in the welcome back.
It's all there anyway.
Yeah, but guests don't read the welcome back properly. Yeah. Come on, you know this from us. They'll always ask what's the Wi-Fi. There will be some things that your virtual PA won't be able to answer or help with, like the heating is not working. And then if that's the case, then we've got our virtual PA also has. The handyman, all of that. So our power team is with the virtual PA. So the virtual PA will answer. They'll try and answer the question. If they can't or a problem needs solving, they'll have the answer to that problem. They'll ring the plumber. And then the plumber, so I don't actually deal with it.
A common one is, can I check out late, isn't it? Do you get that quite a lot?
We do get that quite a lot.
Do you charge extra for that or do you just do it if you've got availability?
We do it if we've got availability.
I'm the same. So do you just then your virtual PA would just contact the cleaner and say, hey, can the guest check out at 11?
Yeah.
And then the cleaner will make the call.
But if there's a booking, though, then we'll charge them.
If you've got a booking the next day?
Yeah. If the day they're checking out, there's a booking, we'll charge them. Because then the cleaner's going to have to work really hard.
Just going a bit later. Let's say you say... What?
Well, no, because there's a...
Do you do 10 till 3? Are they your check-out and check-in times?
No. 1 o'clock check in.
1 o'clock?
Check out's 10.
Wow, you don't give your cleaner very long, do you?
Well, a lot of ours are one bedroom apartments.
But yeah, but what about if you've got five and they've got five to do in that time?
I know, because the cleaning companies that we use, that they're quite big.
Yeah, fair enough. I do 10 to 3. But so sometimes they'll message me and say, hey, can I check out at 11? And then I'll just message.
But is that because you've got your whole, like, your cleaners are doing all of your properties in that area? So they might have, if you've got three properties in one area that have got someone coming, same, you know, check out and check in same day, then they've got to do three properties in the space, in that space of time.
Yeah.
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 Fair enough.
But most hotels do 10 till 3, don't they?
Yeah.
But one's better. I mean, from their point of view, it's better.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always just message the cleaner. I don't charge them. I just say to the cleaner, hey, they want to check in at 2. Will you be done by 2? And if they are, I just message them back and go, yeah. But I don't put any pressure on the cleaner. If the cleaner's happy to do it, great. If the cleaner can't do it, says, actually, I'm not going to be getting there till 2 or whatever, then I'll just message them back and say, sorry, there's a guest checking out, it's being cleaned. But if I can do it, I'll do it for free.
Fair enough.
But that's the sort of thing a virtual PA could do.
Yeah.
See, I don't use a virtual PA, I do it myself.
Why?
I have considered moving to a virtual PA. I don't get many messages. I reckon I spend half an hour a week managing all my service accommodations. It's pretty streamlined. So I do have the odd.
But, you know, it's not an overhead having a PA, virtual PA.
No, I know. But it's just, I agree with you, I probably should get one, but it's just going to be a little bit of setup time now. I'm going to have to find someone, then I have to train them. Then I'm going to have to make sure, like, for example, I'm going to have to teach them things like that. So
yeah, but once you've done it once, it's done.
I agree. I should do it. But it's just not, it's the pain. Do you know, the pain's not that bad for me right now. It's hardly costing me any time. Do you know what I mean? It's just, if it became a big job I get a lot of guests that stay for a bit longer. I've got someone at the moment that's in for a month. So they don't have any
questions. Yeah, there's not many problems.
It's just ticking along, you know what
Fair
I mean?
Enough.
It's like,
fair enough. Maybe one day.
One day. One day.
One day when Russell's on holiday trying to relax on a beach and he's just had like 10 phone calls.
That's the one time I do notice it. When I went to America, I got a couple of messages, but like in the middle of the night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, actually, that was what made me think, maybe I should get a virtual.
It's always when you're busy that someone needs you, innit?
Yeah.
Always when you're doing something, that's when the phone rings.
Yeah, when you're on holiday.
Why can't it just ring when like you're just like sat doing nothing?
Not a power team, but I'll tell you another feature that I have in all my SAs that I find really useful is Nest heating controls.
Yeah. So you control it yourself?
I can control the heating. So when there's no, if there is no guest, I actually leave the heat on all the time because there might be the odd day or two where there's no guests in. But sometimes people will say to me like, oh, it's too hot, oh, it's too cold. And I can go on and see what the actual temperature is. But then I can just change it for them. So I go, oh, this person obviously.
So how does it work then? So what happens if they go up to the wall and try and change it themselves?
It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, but then you're asking for people just to keep on ringing you.
You can use, the Nest thermostat is there. They could change it on the Nest thermostat.
Right. And so do you monitor it? If someone, let's say...
can tell if someone turns the heating up, yeah.
So you're looking and go, hold on a minute, this ain't right.
I don't mind if they turn the heating up. But what I do mind is if they turn the heating up and then they leave. Sometimes they'll turn it down. So sometimes I get someone message me and go, the house is freezing. And I'll look on it and the guest that was in before...
If you've got that, could be a real problem though in the middle of the winter. Because if let's say a guest turns it off and you've got a week's void period,
but I would notice because it would come off my app.
Yeah, but if you didn't, oh no, you're right, I wouldn't. You got me food for thought. Because if someone turns it off in the winter and it's -1 outside,
the house pipes would
freeze. Well, the pipes could freeze, which could lead to the pipes bursting and cracking.
So maybe you need to get
food for thought.
Also, people do like the temperature. What temperature do you have your house?
It's normally about 23.
That's quite warm.
Yeah.
See, I have mine 21.
Right.
The government recommend 19. That seems really cold, doesn't it?
19's what I have the aircon in the car in the boiling hot summer.
Yeah, I think the government recommend 19. Sam, do you know how hot... Have you been to Samuel's house?
Yeah.
How ridiculously hot is it?
Every time I bust a sweat as soon as I walk in.
He has it 25 degrees.
What's wrong with him?
It's not him.
But do they have the windows open all the time?
No. It's just Amanda likes it really hot.
It's just like a sauna.
It is like a sauna. When he's like, what are you talking about? It's normal. I was like, mate, it is not normal. I said, put it this way, when you first used to go around Amanda's house, before you guys, did you think her house was really hot? He was like, yeah. So that's how we all feel now. I was at his house the other day, we're having a meeting, and after, I was like, mate, I need to get out of your house. I went in his plunge pool. Then I was there like freezing.
I mean, his plunge pool's hot as well, isn't it?
Plunge pool.
He keeps that warm.
30 degrees. It's a hot tub. So I think Nest is quite good.
Yeah.
Extra little bonus. But if you set these up correctly, the cleaner's the big one. But if you've got your channel manager, you've got your cleaner, you've got your virtual PA, which I think I should do, but it's just such little work, I haven't bothered. Do your virtual PA ever get in touch with you and say, I'm stuck, what do you want me to do?
They did in the beginning, and then all we did was write down what they were stuck on and give them a solution for it.
If the boiler's broke, can they have the authority to get the boiler fixed with your handyman, or do they have to come to you? Mm-mm. How much money can they spend? Because when I used to run a letting agency, our deal with the landlords was we'd spend up to £100 per problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Without...
That's same as us.
Say £100.
So they can do £100. But if there's... If the boiler's gone or something that's not our responsibility happens for rent to rent, they would have to come to us because then we would have to go to the landlord.
Okay.
But small things, light bulbs changing, a lamp has...
Did your cleaner do not do that though?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we still pay for the bulbs.
Yeah, but my cleaner will just buy that. They'll just buy it and do it and then they'll invoice me at the end of the month.
Yeah, same as us.
Yeah, so you don't have to do anything.
No.
So if you get this your power team set up correctly.
Yeah.
Service accommodation, because people think, oh, it's better tonight. It's really not.
No, when you've got the team
it's
in place.
It's practically passive.
But this is what I'm saying. That's why I think it's a power team, because if you haven't got that in place, then it will be hard work. It will be a job.
If you were having to go and do the cleaning, be the handyman. Yeah. A lot of people do that.
Maybe they enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy it.
Well, maybe they don't enjoy it, but...
Imagine me scrubbing a toilet.
I can't.
No.
I think it's important you get your power team set up. And if you do that, you can completely systemise your service accommodation business, which allows you to scale, right? Because if you're trying to do it yourself, you're only going to be able to manage 10 units.
Oh, even that's a lot if you're just doing it on your own.
How many would you be able to clean in 4 hours? It'd be horrible.
Yeah.
It'd be horrible. If you went on holiday, what would you do? With this, it just runs in the background. It's amazing. Yeah. So that's how you build your service accommodation power team. If you've got a member of your power team that we've not thought of, or any top tips to systemize your service accommodation business, do comment below. And we look forward to seeing you guys next week.